You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a Locked On Podcast Network crossover series. It is Wednesday, and it is rivalry week as the Raiders come to town to play the Broncos. I'm joined today by host of Locked On Raiders, your boy Q, and we're going to talk about what we're going to see from the Oakland Raiders side of the ball and how it matches up with the Denver Broncos offense and defense, and maybe even recap a little bit of the Monday night game against the Rams and kind of go back into segment two talking about the Broncos. He's going to ask me a lot of questions regarding the Denver Broncos, their victory over the Seahawks, what the Broncos offense might do against the Raiders defense, so on and so forth. And then in segment number three, we're going to break it down with your keys to the game with this game. So I'm joined here by your boy Q, host of Locked On Raiders. Today's episode is sponsored by MyBookie. Q, how's it going, my man?
It is going. I'm fully recovered from that Monday night debacle with the Rams, and I'm good to go. Look forward to the Broncos week two.
You know, watching that game, I would say the Raiders' first drive, there was just a lot of energy. The black hole was absolutely energetic, and the tempo was very upbeat with Derek Carr and Marshawn Lynch, and just the energy when Marshawn Lynch dove into the end zone, pretty much being carried. But there was a whole pile of people just pushing him back and forth, and he gets into the end zone. You know, that right there, I was kind of thinking to myself, okay, though, this Oakland Raiders team is going to come to play, but in the second half, they kind of experienced a little bit of some of the Derek Carr issues they've experienced in the last couple of years. That, you know, and I think with Derek Carr, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I'd love to hear your opinion on it, but it seems like ever since he's been injured, he hasn't been the same exact guy that we saw a few years back when he had Bill Musgrave as offensive coordinator.
No, you're absolutely right. And really, man, he just kind of looks like he's skittish in the pocket. And he wasn't like that to start the game. That's what really concerns me. He wasn't like that to start the game. He was throwing the ball around the yard. He looked really good doing it. Had about 199 yards in the first half. Only incompletion on like three or four passes. Looked really good. And then Aaron Donald hit him low. And I think that maybe, I don't know, flashbacks to that Christmas Eve in Oakland, the Coliseum against the Indianapolis Colts kicked in. And he started flashing back to that. But something happened because he was a shell of himself in the second half. And it was really, really bad. You got to give Wade Phillips and that defense a lot of credit. And you know, Broncos know about Wade Phillips and that defense. And he's a master at going ahead and making adjustments. That's one thing that the Raiders coaching staff did not do. They didn't adjust well at halftime. Wade Phillips did. And Derek Carr was not the same after all. And so hopefully he finds a way to shake that, because that's going to be a problem moving forward. It's only one game in the season, so you can recover from that if you can find your way. But that's the biggest question. Is he going to be able to find his way moving forward? Right now, it doesn't look good. And you hit it on the head. He hasn't looked himself since that 2016 injury where he broke his leg.
When I go back to just watching it, I think ever since this offseason of just change in Oakland really kind of showed its head a little bit, John Gruden came in, and to be honest with you, with the moves that John Gruden made, the Oakland Raiders, I believe, are undergoing a culture shock. They're kind of going through that culture change where John Gruden is essentially coming in and changing everything. Now, there are some moves a lot of people look at and they kind of scratch their head at. It almost seems as if they're getting a little bit older, but from a football perspective, I completely understand what he's doing in regards to that. Because when you can bring in some veteran guys, you can show some of these younger guys that are fighting, that are continuing to develop. And I think a lot of it is some of these guys have needed leadership, some of these younger guys. So I can see why they brought in Jordy Nelson and obviously Cook. But that's one thing I kind of wanted to talk about in this game. We saw, early on Derek Carr connecting with Cook, you know, from the tight end position. And that is an area specifically where the Broncos have had their struggles in terms of matching up with tight ends and free safeties. As Will Disley for the Seattle Seahawks this past weekend, he had over 100 yards receiving by halftime on three receptions. So, you know, I noticed a lot of double tight in John Gruden's system. What tight ends are going to be very pivotal in this game? And how do you think they can attack the Broncos defense, who they really want to generate a lot of pressure on Derek Carr, try to get the ball out of his hands quickly, which we saw the Rams do on Monday night. They adjusted a little bit, forced a little bit more pressure. Defensive backs played a little bit tighter, and that's how we saw Marcus Peters and some other guys make some plays.
Well, Jared Cook is going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy that could really get things going for Derek Carr if he can get the ball into his hands, just like he did Monday night against the Rams. that's the matchup that they're looking for. Obviously, they want to get the ball to the wide receivers, but if that's taken away like it was Monday night, Jared Cook becomes wide receiver one for Derek Carr, and he can get the ball out of his hands in 2.2 seconds, 2.5 seconds, really quickly, because he doesn't want to get that pressure. So he's going to use that, and a lot of Raider fans get upset because it looks like he's just checking down, which later in the game he did. He just became a check down machine to Jalen Richard, the running back. But ultimately, he's going to look for that matchup mismatch, which is going to be with Jared Cook. Lee Smith is a good tight end, but he's really a blocker. And Derek Carrier, he's kind of like tight end 2/3 or whatever. You could sprinkle him in there for a couple catches, but it's not going to be anything major. The real deal guy will be Jared Cook if he's looking for the tight end early and often. And that's kind of what it looked like he was doing on Monday night against the Rams. But again, that's because those big corners out there, Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, were taking away Jordy Nelson, taking away Amari Cooper, and just left them for, you know, left it really Jared Cook there and whoever else can get out there and maybe make some things happen. Now, the Raiders did re-sign Martavis Bryant today, so, and he's supposed to play on Sunday, so that should be an interesting wrinkle. I'm kind of curious on how they're going to use him after just cutting him like 10 days ago.
Yeah, you know, and I think with Martavis Bryant, you know, I was trying to wonder in, I didn't know enough news about his pending suspension. I know that was one of the reasons they cut him in the first place, was that he had a suspension looming large. I haven't seen anything on that yet, but if he truly can play on Sunday against the Broncos, he is a matchup, you know, problem for a lot of defensive backs. Now, you go back to it, the Broncos secondary, you have Chris Harris Jr., who's a very good corner in the National Football League. You have Bradley Roby, who was very impressive behind Chris Harris and Aqib Talib last year in the last couple of years in Denver. Right now, he's kind of going through a period where he's trying to prove to himself and prove to the Broncos that he is a number two corner in the National Football League. And, you know, he had a little bit of struggle against Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver, not the linebacker Brandon Marshall on the Broncos. But, you know, he kind of had that little bit of a struggle there, had a little bit of coverage issues against Stephon Diggs in the preseason. You almost had to wonder, well, that's because Stephon Diggs is one of the best route runners in the league. But, you know, Roby's continued to struggle a little bit with some of these bigger receivers, and Martavis Bryant is no exception to the thought there. And you have Jordy Nelson, who, you know, he's looking good. I think just having a difference of quarterback between him and Rodgers and Carr and Rodgers, I think they got to work a little bit more on the chemistry. From what I've seen, though, Jordy Nelson, a great guy who's out there going to get out there and block. He's going to be a reliable target when you need him. That's if the pressure is not on Derek Carr, which I think is going to be a key to the game, which we'll talk about in segment number two when Q asked me all Broncos-related questions. One of the questions I had for you, Q, is looking at this. You mentioned earlier the run game. You have Marshawn Lynch, and I don't know if my eyes are deceiving me, but Marshawn Lynch, I watched him in the preseason. He looks leaner than I've ever seen him before.
No, he is. He lost like 10 pounds, and he's been all in. He's been training really hard. He came in a lot better shape than he did in 2017 when he really didn't get into good game shape until the end of the season, and that's when you saw him really succeed in the run game. This time around, he came into camp, and he's in really good shape. He has a lot of burst to him. He has a lot of his beast mode strength back. I think that Marshawn Lynch is going to have a heck of a season if he can continue to get the rock. I mean, he was really successful in the first half. He only got the ball, what, a time, two times maybe, tops in the second half. He only ended the game with 11 carries, and that he needs to have more. He needs to have about 20 carries a game. I would just feed him until you can't feed him anymore. Who cares? You have a stable of running backs back there. Let that dude go ahead and put in some work. But, you know, they got away from that game plan in the second half. A lot of that had to do with Derek Carr and his struggles as well. But, yeah, man, he looks explosive. He looks strong. And he looks like he's ready to play. The fact is, they just got to give him the ball more.
And you feature in this game, too. I think this is an exciting matchup. I just saw something from Samuel L. Jackson today, an old Monday Night Football promo about these two teams and their bad blood for one another. And I'll be sure to include that here in the clip here when we air the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Raiders crossover. But, you know, this is an interesting matchup. Not only that, because there's some former Raiders fans, and I know a guy by the name of Bruce Irvin has had this game circled on his calendar for quite some time. Former punter for the Raiders, Marquette King, who, phenomenal talent. Things didn't really end well in Oakland, and for some reason, those two have an issue with each other now, and he got permission, according to himself, that he will be on special teams this week. What can we expect to see out of Bruce Irvin? And I know the whole dynamic with Marquette King. What are your thoughts on these two guys?
Well, I think that Bruce Irvin didn't like the fact that Marquette King was so buddy-buddy with Aqib Talib after the whole chain snatching thing with Michael Crabtree a couple years ago. Bruce Irvin's not that really kind of cat. You remember he was in Seattle and he was part of that Legion of Boom, that strong defense that helped lead these guys to a Super Bowl. And he's just not cut from that kind of cloth where you just go buddy buddy with the enemy, especially when he pulls something like like what Marquette, well, what Aqib Talib did to Michael Crabtree and snatching his chain. And so when he was real buddy-buddy with him at the Pro Bowl, that kind of set Bruce Irvin off, and he wasn't really the same after that. And you could always tell that Bruce Irvin was never a big fan of King. And it just when he was released by Gruden, Bruce Irvin was one of the first guys to come out and say something and was pretty excited about him being gone. Just doesn't like that kind of foolery, especially from a punter. You know, I mean, a lot of guys don't respect the punter. And look, Marquette King's a hell of a guy. He's a hell of a player, but he has a super huge personality, which I'm sure you're getting more familiar with day in and day out, just because of, you know, the guy he is and his antics. It does get a little bit costly, 15-yard penalties and everything. It's just that's too much for a punter. And so I think Bruce Irvin just kind of has that little axe to grind with him. I don't expect anything to happen on Sunday. I really don't. I don't expect Bruce Irvin to be on any kind of special teams. If you saw the game on Monday night, Bruce Irvin had one sack and a strip, a forced fumble of Jared Goff. He's going to need to do more than that for the Raiders to be successful, since they don't have any Khalil Mack. So he better not worry about Marquette King. He better worry about getting after Case Keenum.
Yeah, and he does have a personality. And, you know, there was a little media incident this summer. You know, a local media guy was trying to stir some stuff up with Marquette King, and it, you know, it didn't really fly too well. And, you know, he's a very passionate guy. He's got, like you said, a big personality. I think between these two guys, it's football. I'm sure they'll probably have a little conversation after the game. You know, it's just one of those things along the lines. It's competitive, and I absolutely get it. I mean, I recall one game last year. It was the when Justin Simmons sealed the game when E.J. Manuel came in and threw a pick to Justin Simmons late. That game right there, that was a game where the Raiders went for a fake punt, and then they didn't get it, and then Marquette King got a 15-yard penalty. So far, at training camp, preseason, we haven't seen any of that. He's punted the ball really well, flipped the field position last week, bounced it on the 4-yard line for the Seahawks. So he's been a good weapon for the Broncos, and I expect, you know, that's going to be a big factor. What about the punter replacing Marquette King? You know, because I know a lot of people, we always like to talk about offense, we like to talk about defense, but special teams is the third element of the game, and that's super important. And so with Sebastian Janikowski now in Seattle, which the Broncos saw him last week, who are the kicker and what is the punter for the Raiders going to, you know, how are they going to factor into this game this week, especially being new?
Well, Johnny Townsend is the punter for the Raiders now out of Florida. He was actually drafted by the Raiders. I was hoping that they were going to be able to get Michael Dixon, who I'm sure you saw as well with the Seahawks. Michael Dixon's a stud out of UT, but they weren't able to get him. They got Johnny Townsend instead, and he's been fine. He hasn't been great. He's not overwhelming. He's not Marquette King. He's not Shane Leckler, but he's doing pretty well, you know. And then they went and signed Eddie Pinheiro as an undrafted free agent, who's also from Florida, and those two had already worked together. So you're thinking, okay, that's great. Those guys are so familiar with each other. It's going to be just like getting on a bike again. Not a big deal. They don't have to get used to each other. And then Eddie Pinheiro goes up and messes his groin. So he's on IR. He's done for the season. And Mike Nugent is the kicker. And so, you know, Mike Nugent's a veteran. He's been in the league for a long time. He's okay of a kicker. He's not super reliable, but as you saw from Sebastian Janikowski, neither is he anymore. So you know, there's a lot of issues going on as far as the special teams unit goes. The long snapper tore his ACL during the game for the Raiders, so they got to go out and try to find a replacement for that. And that's something that gets ignored until all of a sudden you need one. When you need one of those, then it's like, oh damn, this is bad. So yeah, I don't know when they're going to replace him. Who they're going to have at that spot? They had Lee Smith, the tight end, as the long snapper on Monday night's game, and that was something. You got to give him a lot of credit. He was able to pull it off, but I'll tell you, that snap didn't get back to the punter and the kicker very fast. It was really, really slow, but it got there. Give him credit, it got there, and he did his very best trying to make that happen. So the special teams unit is somewhat of a project right now for the Raiders, but yeah, you'll see Mike Nugent kicking. He's okay, he's nothing special, and you'll see Johnny Townsend, who I think is pretty good, not Marquette King good, but he's pretty good.
I don't know. All these punters might look really good at altitude. We'll have to see this Sunday. But your boy Q, host of Locked On Raiders, talking about some of the key matchups, the player matchups that the Oakland Raiders have this weekend when the Broncos and the Raiders do battle. I mentioned at the top of the hour, today's episode is brought to you by MyBookie. Now, MyBookie, for me, is the one-stop shop for all reliable sports betting, and they offer a variety of amazing features. Now, with MyBookie, you can make live in-game bets, and you can even bet the over or the under on how many fantasy points a player will score during the season. That's a really cool feature for all you fantasy football guys out there. And the best thing about MyBookie is that when you win, you get paid. You don't have to wait any longer to get your payouts from other sources. MyBookie pays you right away. And MyBookie, they've been so reliable to me, which is why we are recommending them to you, the listener of the show. Now, lay down some cash and you can win big today with MyBookie. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. And once again, you can do that by using promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer when you sign up. So once again, go to MyBookie online today and use promo code LOCKEDON. In order to claim this special offer, you play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie. Alrighty, here we go. Segment one. We heard from the Oakland Raiders what to expect, what guys to look for, you know, a little bit of the aftermath of the Monday night football game against the Rams. And now they got to travel to Denver, a tough Mile High matchup where an AFC West divisional rivalry game is always competitive. It's always tough. It's always hard hitting football. And last time these guys played in Denver, it was a little bit of a nail biter. Justin Simmons, like we mentioned a little bit early, came out of the blue with EJ Manuel. This was after Derek Carr got hurt and sealed the game with an interception. It was a down to the wire game, very close. And to be honest with you, Q, I expect nothing different here as the Raiders come to town.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a heck of a game. It's the second week of the season. It's the Denver Broncos. You know, it's one of those that it doesn't matter how good you're playing at the time. You got to just throw the records out the book, and you know that both these teams hate each other, and they want to get the best of each other, and they really want to embarrass the other team. I mean, that's just the bottom line when it comes to it. So I think that especially with the bad taste in the Raiders' mouth from what happened Monday night against the Rams, I definitely believe that they're going to be ready to go. I think they're going to know what they did wrong, and I think Derek Carr is going to be out to prove a fact that he is better than when he showed in the second half. But I will tell you that his success rate in Denver has never been good. His success rate in Denver is just not what you would want it to be from a franchise quarterback. I mean, there's certain hurdles he needs to get over, and Denver playing up there in that altitude against that defense, against that team, that's definitely one of them.
So the Broncos offense has, you know, has been much more improved from last year when you had Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, or even Brock Osweiler quarterback. I believe when the Broncos were on the road against the Raiders, Paxton Lynch was the starting guy, and the Broncos couldn't get the ball moving well. The offense is a little different. There's a different quarterback behind the helm, Case Keenum. Broncos fans have really taken a liking to him. He had one of those games last week. He was too aggressive in some situations. He threw three interceptions, but he came back and he responded, and he threw three touchdowns as well. Very aggressive quarterback play. The Broncos offense, the tempo is much more improved. My question is, especially looking at the Monday night game against the Rams, who have a very up-tempo offense and a lot of prolific weapons there, they really struggled to kind of get pressure on Jared Goff. You mentioned Bruce Irvin had a strip sack on Goff. That was one of them. But outside of that, they really had a hard time pressuring Gurley and Goff. And I think the big news of the offseason before the season began was trading away Khalil Mack. Who is stepping up in place of Khalil Mack that will be going against the Broncos right tackle in Jared Valdir or left tackle Garrett Bowles?
That's funny. Jared Valdir used to be an Oakland Raider. Yep. It's funny, man. They always happen to stay in the AFC West. No, I think that you'll probably see Arden Key. Arden Key is a guy that John Gruden really is trying to feature and wants to have him to step up. He even said it after Khalil Mack was traded that it's time for Arden Key to step up and Bruce Irvin needs to step up. It's Arden Key time or whatever, you know, something to that liking. Both those guys are going to be asked to do a lot, Arden Key and Bruce Irvin. But really, where Raider fans are excited and where John Gruden's really excited and even Paul Gunther are excited is that interior push. Those guys, Maurice Hurst, you know, fifth round draft pick that probably could have been a first round pick, but he had the issue with his heart and a lot of teams stayed away from him. And then also PJ Hall out of Sam Houston State, a guy that comes from a small school and a lot of people didn't even know about him, but he's another guy that everyone's very excited about. So those are two right there that the Raiders in general are excited about. It's really the young guys, man. It's really about the production from the young dudes, Arden Key, Mo Hurst, PJ Hall, and then of course you got the veteran in Bruce Irvin out there trying to do some work. But outside of that, man, that's really it. And unfortunately for the Raiders, they just don't have the pass rush that they had when they had 5-2. They just don't. I mean, you just can't replace it. It's like the Broncos trading away Von Miller and thinking that just filling any name is just going to go ahead and take that spot. Even Bradley Chubb, who's a stud, you know, I wouldn't be comfortable trading away Von Miller today thinking Bradley Chubb's going to take his place. That's just not smart. You know what I mean? So right now, the Raiders don't have that guy that could just step in right now and take 52's place. They just don't. And they're going to have to try to scheme it up. They're going to really rely on Paul Gunther to come up with a good game plan. But, I mean, he was rushing four. He wasn't blitzing a lot on Monday night, and they weren't able to get to Goff at all. The one sack that they had on Goff, I think he held the ball for about 5 or 6 seconds. So that's only because he didn't have anywhere to go with the ball. So that's more of a coverage sack than anything else. And they didn't get to him any other time in the rest of the game. So, Case Keenum should have plenty of time to stand back there and throw the ball around the yard unless Paul Gunther, defensive coordinator, comes up with a good scheme to kind of slow that down. But from what I saw and from what other Raider fans saw, it doesn't look like there's going to be a whole lot of pressure provided on quarterbacks this season unless something changes quick, fast, and in a hurry.
And that's going to be a little tough. You mentioned some young guys being there on the defensive line and even at the linebacker positions. And I like to talk about the running backs here for the Broncos because both guys are very young. They're both rookies this year. Royce Freeman out of the University of Oregon and Phillip Lindsay, undrafted out of CU, a local guy that came in. And to be honest with you, it's a big surprise after watching him throughout the preseason how this guy went undrafted. Now, both of these guys against the Seahawks had 15 carries each for 71 yards apiece at a 4.7 yards per carry average. You know, you had Phillip Lindsay with a receiving touchdown. There's a lot of options I think the Broncos have offensively now, and I want to talk about some of these weapons because you mentioned coverage sacks. The Broncos had Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, who had 10 catches for over 100 yards. He had a phenomenal game. He's had a phenomenal preseason and a training camp, and now he's had a great start to the regular season. You have Demaryius Thomas, the veteran guy as well, but you also have some two young additions in Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton, rookies this year. So the Broncos have a lot of young guys contributing. I would say from the early onset, they're pretty mature from a standpoint of that they can contribute right away, pick up some key places. You have Jeff Heirmann, a tight end. I kind of want to know about the Raiders' secondary right here. I know you have Gerrion Conley. I saw 22. I forgot his last name, but he was really impressive to me early on, especially with some tight coverage on the outside against Brandon Cooks in the first quarter. He had a really good pass breakup there and didn't let Brandon Cooks really stem his leverage. What are we going to expect, or what are we going to see on Sunday with the Raiders secondary and these weapons at wide receiver?
You know, the secondary is actually a pleasant surprise for Raider fans because past years it's been the Achilles heel. It's been really, really weak. They've had guys that are very suspect, but you mentioned Gerrion Conley, the first round draft pick of 2017 that I, for the record, could not stand when they drafted him, but he looks like, you know, they drafted him for a reason. It looks like he's going to be a real deal player. Looks like he could be the next great shutdown defensive back for the Raiders, and it's been a while since they had one, but they've had a history of having those guys. So he looks like the real deal. He played a heck of a game on Monday night and really didn't see a whole lot of action go his way. So he's pretty much everything that it was hyped up to be when they drafted him. And Rashad Melvin is the one that you're talking about, number 22, that had the pass breakup on Brandon Cooks. He's a veteran. You know, he's there on a one-year deal, so it's a contract year. And, you know, a lot of players step up in the contract year. He played well with the Colts last season, and he looks like he's off to a good start with the Raiders. He just kind of understands the position. You know, he understands how to play that position. So, really, this is one of the strengths of the Raiders' defense is the corners, you know, and the safeties. It's still kind of a question mark who's going to be the guy back there. Reggie Nelson is old and slow. I don't like him anytime he's out there. He should never be out there, but he's a veteran in Paul Gunther's system, so that's why he's there. I wish that they just go ahead and cut him because he's awful, but he's out there still. Who knows for how long? And, you know, they had Marcus Gilchrist, but he looked like he got banged up on Monday night, so maybe Carl Joseph goes back there. He's a question mark still. Not too sure, you know, exactly who he is or what he is. But as far as those corners go, Melvin and Conley, I have a lot of confidence in those guys. And then when you need a little bit of help, you need to throw a guy in the slot, you can move Conley over and then bring in Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who just signed with the team not too long ago. But he's a veteran that knows the part as well. So that's going back to that point you made a long time ago about the leadership, the veterans and the young guys kind of mixed in. And that's how John Gruden's trying to win this year, is with a nice mix of both of those guys, even though it works out where they're the oldest team in the league, but that's like 28 years old, so I'm not really worried about that. But either way, I think that the secondary now, compared to past years, is really a strength of the Raiders team.
And that's one of John Gruden's favorite fantasies, is making sure that experience and youth go hand in hand. And you can also experience what fantasy football is like over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Fantasy football is underway. We have two fantasy football shows that will help you all. We have Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, which gives you all the latest news, the waiver wire suggestions, and injury news. And then we have Locked On Fantasy Football. And it's now the Locked On Fantasy Football with the experts, with amazing guests every day. Monday features Tom Kesenich. Tuesday, it features Eric Edholm. Wednesday's episodes feature Jeff Ratliff and Tyler Lochner over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Segment 3, you know, jumping into this Q, I think this is going to be an exciting game. Like you mentioned, you know, we go back and forth between the history of these two teams. And I think there's, you know, we mentioned the bad blood. At the end of the game, you know, when the game is over, you know, everyone shakes it up. It's fun, but it's always a competitive battle. I look at it as a gladiator sport because these two teams, whenever they get together and they play, it is hard-hitting football. Now, the Broncos won the first matchup last season in Denver, and then they went on the road, and then they lost late. When it was Derek Carr, he connected on a pass down to Cordarrelle Patterson on rookie Brennan Langley at the time to secure the win for the Raiders. I know Trevor Siemian was trying to lead a little bit of a comeback there. The team is completely different now in Oakland. The team is completely different right now in Denver. So let's talk about some of the keys to the game. If you're going into this, if you're the Raiders, what are some of your keys to the game that you're preaching to your team that you have to really do this week in order to have a chance to come out on top?
Well, I think it starts defensively, and you talked about it before about getting pressure on the quarterback. The Raiders have to find a way. I don't know what it's going to be. The truth of the matter is 52 is not coming through the door anytime soon. So that doesn't you rule that out. You can stop talking about him, stop thinking about him. He's not there. He's doing his thing in Chicago. So somehow, some way, the young guys, the Arden Keys, the Bruce Irvins, the vet, and, you know, P.J. Hall, Mo Hurst, those guys got to find a way to get pressure on Case Keenum and force him to make a mistake, force him to get uncomfortable. That's one thing that Jared Goff never had to face on Monday. He never was uncomfortable in the pocket. That has to be a thing. That has to be a factor. That has to be. I mean, you have to get more than five pressures in a game. I mean, that's embarrassing to only get five pressures on a quarterback in one complete game. I mean, that's like one a quarter and then, oh, by the way, an extra one. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not going to happen. Yeah. So defensively, that's how it's got to go. They've got to find a way to get pressure on the quarterback. They can defend the ball, the pass, you know, on the back end. The secondary, I have confidence in. If you make Case Keenum get a little panicky, throw that ball in the air, there's a chance for a turnover. And also, you know, just make him throw the ball away. Make him get rid of it quicker than he wants to. Don't let him get comfortable. If he gets comfortable, we know what he can do. I'm not 100% sold on Case Keenum as a super franchise quarterback anyway. It's really been 1 year of success for him. So I'm not convinced that he can't be rattled, that he, you know, that he's just that guy. It's not like you're playing against Peyton Manning back there. He's not going to pick you apart like that. You can rattle this dude, but you got to get pressure on him.
Absolutely, and I think staying on the defensive side of the ball for the Broncos here, you look at some of the weapons that they have, and I know the Broncos have struggled historically in the last couple of seasons covering tight ends, and you mentioned you have Jared Cook, and you have these other tight end options. For the Broncos, I would expect them to come out more of a dime package this week because their base package, where you have inside linebacker Todd Davis matched up on a tight end, it hasn't worked out that well for the Broncos, so I expect them to go a little bit more of a dime with the DeMonte Thomas-Will Parks combination. They just promoted Shamarco Thomas to the active roster. He's been a guy that's bounced around the NFL for a few years out of Syracuse. Now he's found a spot in Denver for now as a contributing guy. He just got promoted from the practice squad. But if I'm Denver, you really have to look at the standpoint. You got to tighten up in the secondary. You can't give up the big play over the top. And more importantly, you got to find a way to get to Derek Carr. If you give Derek Carr time, that's where he has a lot of success throwing and connecting to receivers, especially reliable targets like, you know, Jordy Nelson and Amari Cooper, Cooper can be one of the deadliest wide receivers in the league when he's on. When he's on, he's very scary to watch. And he had a really successful year last year against the Broncos in one-on-one coverage. So for the Broncos, use that defensive line. You know, you mentioned Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb did a phenomenal job alongside Derek Wolfe, Domantas Peko, at getting pressure on the inside and the opposite edge, which really freed up Von Miller to have a field day against one of the NFL's most mobile quarterbacks in Russell Wilson. 3-sack performance, 2 forced fumbles. Those are things that the Broncos really have to utilize. You get pressure on Derek Carr. We've seen Von Miller and Derek Carr go at it year to year. We've seen strip sacks, and we've seen Derek Carr scoop up underneath and connect on a throw. Tight ends are the primary weapon, I think, this week for the Raiders offense. So defensively, you have to find a way to cover those guys and make somebody else beat you. And you really have to contain Marshawn Lynch. You can't let him bounce out outside. We've seen Marshawn Lynch, because he's lost some 10 pounds and he looks leaner, he looks a lot faster. They're starting to run him a little bit more in the edge too, rather than just running him inside and downhill. They really want to get him out on some sweeps, some stretch plays, and it's working for the Raiders right now. They didn't obviously win against the Rams, but there's a lot of promising pieces there that the Raiders have in place that can really hurt the Broncos this Sunday if they don't get it. What is your offensive game plan against the secondary like Chris Harris Jr., Darian Stewart, Bradley Roby, Tremaine Brock, and even Pac-Man Jones, and obviously the one guy that you really always have to circle on your calendar, Von Miller?
Yeah, I mean, those guys that you mentioned, man, those are all dogs on the defensive side of the ball. Denver has that stout defense. They're really, really stinking good. So I really think that Derek Carr's plan, at least when he's throwing the ball, is to get it out of his hand as quickly as possible. I think he's going to try to target Amari Cooper a lot because he only targeted him 3 times Monday night, and Cooper only had 1 catch for 9 yards, and that's not okay for your number one wide receiver. And look, Amari Cooper's supposed to be that guy. So I think he's going to try to target him early and often and try to get him involved in the game and really get going. I think that's going to be something that John Gruden's going to try to do. So look for Derek Carr to release the ball as quickly as possible, because look, if you got Von Miller coming after you, bad things could happen. So he's trying to get rid of it as quickly as possible. And then again, I also think that they're going to try to establish the run. They started that way. The game on Monday night started with Marshawn Lynch, had a nice opening drive. I think that they're going to realize that they need to continue to really work that run game. And Denver, for their great defense that they've always had, they've allowed rushers to get loose. I mean, they've allowed those kind of rushers to get loose. So I think that that's something that they really need to focus on, is try to feed Marshawn Lynch. Basically, the run game has to come up with at least 100 yards rushing. I don't care how you get it. If it's Marshawn gets the whole 100, if you sprinkle in Doug Martin and Jalen Richard, that's fine. But you really need to get 100 yards rushing out of your run game. Marshawn only had 41 yards in Monday night's game. I thought he could have done a lot better than that, but they went away from it. So look for them to really start feeding the run game on Sunday, and then that opens up everything else for the passing game and Derek Carr. That's really going to be my keys. You establish the run, and then you take your shots when you can.
You've heard it. Those are your keys to the game for the Raiders side of the ball this week. And as they travel to Denver, week 2 matchup, AFC divisional game. And in the first stretch, the Broncos have 2 divisional games, one against the Raiders this Sunday and one in a couple weeks against the Chiefs. You really have to come out and win those divisional games early on. You have to have some motivation to do it. And especially in a tough division, I think that the AFC West can be this year. I think they can be a tough division to compete in the National Football League. On paper last year, we thought they were one of the best divisions in football. We got proved wrong. It was only a couple man race there between the Chiefs and the Chargers late, who made a great push as well. But, you know, want to thank you, Q. You know, the Lockdown Podcast Network, we're doing these crossover shows every single Wednesday during the NFL regular season. It is our crossover series. We got Locked On Raiders today with your boy Q, and obviously Locked On Broncos. Q, can you tell the listeners of Locked On Broncos where they can hear your work and obviously where they can follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. On Twitter, at your boy Q254. That's at your boy Q254. You can find, obviously, the Locked On Raiders podcast. You can just go to anywhere where your podcasts are at. You can find us. And then also, I do a daily radio show from noon to 3 Central Time on ESPN Central Texas. And you can find that on TuneIn Radio. You can find it all over the place. Just look for me. You can find me.
Always love doing that. And if you're a Locked On Raiders listener, I love tuning in to Locked On Raiders just to get the inside intel from your boy Q. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, and you can check out my work at Predominantly Orange. And you can catch me every week on Denver Sports Radio, Orange and Blue 760, as well as Mile High Sports with Coach Les of the Coach Les Show every single Thursday. You can catch me there. Love talking Broncos. And obviously, Q, love talking Raiders football, Broncos football with you. It's going to be an exciting matchup this weekend, and I'm very excited that we got to get this show in for the listeners of the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. The AFC West, we always think it's going to be a super tough division, like you talked about early. And, you know, this is one of the premier matchups right there. Actually, all the games in the AFC West are premier matchups, but really love the matchup between the Broncos and the Raiders. So this is one that the Raiders need and the Broncos want really bad. So it's going to be a fun one on Sunday.
Raiders-Broncos kickoff at Broncos Stadium in Mile High this Sunday at 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time. Be sure to catch all the action. Follow your boy Q on Twitter as well. And we'll be live tweeting the game, and we'll be talking about it as well. You heard it. This is the crossover series from the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Broncos, Locked On Raiders, bringing it to you. We'll see you this Sunday.